It's so good hearing the testimonies this morning. Isn't it amazing? And isn't it fun that not everything always works out right with our necessarily with testimonies and what God's doing? But it's great to hear people stepping out and taking the opportunity. I just love it. I find it really, really encouraging. We had lots of opportunity at Feast. Sometimes we can grab hold of that opportunity and pray for people, and other times it can pass us by and doesn't feel that opportune moment to pray, or you know. But we've had some lovely encounters at Feast. We had a lovely Christmas with the Common Mums. We did the nativity play and gave a little message about Jesus being the Prince of Peace, and peace was not the absence of troubles or difficulties. It was the presence of Jesus, and that's what we believe as Christians. And we did a short Facebook film. I don't know if anyone's on the Comma Facebook, but we were at Gemma's, and I said to Pete, well, let's not everybody was at Comma, let's put up a quick Facebook post. And oh gosh, we were like faffing about, weren't we, writing what we should say and all that. I was writing. We were trying to come up with the right words, and in the end we're just like, oh, let's just do it, and if we have to do it again, we'll do it again. Anyway, we did it, and it actually came out really well, didn't it? It came out really family friendly. It was one take, and because you don't want it to come across as like religious. But it came out, it did, didn't it? It came out really well. We were down, yeah, anyway. So that was really good. We have great opportunity with the mums and the grandparents to pray, to share. And just, again, it's just like this constant drip feeding into people's lives. Isn't it, Lynn? Comma. I'm just saying about comma. Just having that consistent drip feeding into people's lives at Feast as well, praying for people. And we have a great, I think I've told you before, we have this great opportunity at Feast. At the beginning of Feast, we start with good news. We start with celebrating good news. We do really what we do here. We're trying to, the culture that we're trying to create amongst us, we're trying to bring into Feast. And sometimes it's absolutely brilliant, isn't it? It's great when Lynn's there as well, because we've got that extra boost of River Church. So we share testimonies about, you know, mainly about provision. The amount of provision that Feast has is incredible. I mean, I didn't realise till this week that everybody, Tunbridge School, did all the fruit and vegetable for Christmas for people who come to Feast. Use Nourish and Sustain. So probably 100 people. They also, from Tunbridge School Finance it, they also got a voucher, £15 each for meat. And I didn't even realise that. I was just like, wow, the provision's incredible. So it's been great to see that, and to see that when we specifically need something, it actually comes in with one of the deliveries that's the leftover from stores. So it's been a really, really good Christmas in that respect with Feast and Comma. You're always very welcome to drop in and come and have a look around, come and see what we do at Feast. But I wanted to talk really about, just very quickly because of time, really, about the new year, really, and what I feel like stirring in my heart. Because I think back to 2020, and I don't know if everybody remembers, we went into 2020 in January with great hope, beginning of a new decade, entering a new, 2020 vision, you know, that, all those things. And then COVID hit, and sort of like devastation hit the country, the church changed, and there's a definite sense, I think, that we all know that we've entered into a new era, church-wise. And I think Pete and I have looked at certain stuff to realise that every 500 years, I think it is, isn't there? There's a shift in the church area or something to do with that. And it feels like we definitely entered into that after COVID. And Pete had that brilliant word about the revolving door. We can go back to comfort. We can go back to the luxurious, it's like a foyer, wasn't it? All polished and opulent. Or we can step out into what looks like a barren land and see what God's going to do. And our heart is very much the barren land because we believe God can bring rivers, can bring beautiful plants, flowers, and he can lead and guide us. But so often and the new year starts and we want a map. We want God, give us a map. I want a new journal, start of the year. I want that. That's my main thing. And thank you, Tony, for my new journal. I absolutely love it. I just love it. What we know, so we know we're in the new era. We want a map. Where are we going? What are you saying? What are we doing, Lord? And we want the whole map laid out. But the thing is, with God giving us a map, is then we start to strategize, we start to plan, and those things aren't wrong, but they can be way different to what he's actually saying. I'm definitely a strategizer, an organizer, and a planner. So, and I think I've said to you before, if I'd been alive with Jesus, I'd have run his diary because I'd have wanted to know where. I'm very flexible within that, but I generally want to know where we're going and what we're doing. But we do have, God gives us a compass, and that, of course, is his presence, the beautiful presence of Holy Spirit who leads and guides us. Another thing Pete and I both believe is, and I didn't realise this, but I'll tell you what I didn't realise in a minute, but I want to tell you what we believe. We believe that we're planted in the promised land. We don't believe we're trying to get across a river or we're trying to get into the promised land. We actually believe that by Jesus' death and resurrection, our commitment, our new life has planted our feet in the promised land. I was listening to someone the other day, and I didn't realise that Christians actually thought that. That actually Christians believe that the promised land is heaven. And that was quite a shock, because I don't think I've ever believed that. I think I've always thought, no, the promised land is where we come into when we accept now. Jesus into our lives. It's now, Gaynor. Now. And I believe our feet are firmly planted in the new era, in the promised land, with the wide open space of God's promises. And he wants to lead us into them all. And he gives us a compass. Doesn't always give us a map. He gives us a compass. Why does he give us a compass? I believe because with a compass, you've got to walk closely with him. With a map, you can make your own route. With a compass, you need to walk very closely with him. So I would like to look at Joshua 3. If you have your Bible, I'm actually back in the Amplified this week. I've been in and out of the Amplified. But this week, Joshua 3. And I do feel this is a verse for us. Joshua 3. Now, in the Amplified, you may find this slightly different in your Bible, but the sense is the same. Okay? Okay, we're just going to read 3, 1 to 4. Joshua got up early in the morning, then he and all the children of Israel set out from Shittim and came to the Jordan, and they spent the night there before they crossed the river. And it happened at the end of 3 days that the officers went throughout the camp, and they commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from where you are and follow it. However, there shall be a distance between you and it of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come near it so that you may be able to... Do not come near it so that you may... And then in brackets in the Amplified, it says, be able to see the ark and know the way you are to go. But this is what I feel is for us. For you have not passed this way before. Now, this, of course, is before they get into the promised land. But when I read this, That verse stuck out to me. You've not been this way before. It's not something that you're regularly going to be doing, you know, the same old thing, the same old way to walk in the land. You've not been this way before. So what do you need? You need to stay close to the presence. You need to stay with the compass of Holy Spirit showing you what to do, where to go, who to speak to fully take the land. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I know here they haven't gone in. They're just about to cross the Jordan. But I believe we're in. I do believe that new era is establishing us in the promised land, going after all the promises of God. Yeah, so we, of course, we don't have to stay distant from the presence. We have the presence in us, the reality of God living in us, which is amazing. So I just want to quickly go through some verses. You know all this, but I pray that this will encourage you to read the compass well. There's some things we can do that will help us read the compass and what God's saying well. The first thing is be in the Word of God. I don't think there's ever been a time, I probably say this every time, we need to be in the Word of God. We need to have the Word of God because it leads and guides us. It's the now voice of the Holy Spirit. It establishes truth in our lives. So, you know, I just want to encourage us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. This is a God-breathed letter to us. It's, again, in the Amplified, it's wonderful. It says that it instructs, it convicts, it corrects, it leads us into obedience, to be obedient. It equips us for every good work. The one I think is really key for us at the moment is it trains us in righteousness, the Amplified says. Now, righteousness is our weapon against the enemy. When we stand righteous, the enemy can't stand against us. And the Word trains us in righteousness. It trains us to live from the new man that we are now because of the rebirth, because we're a new creation. So in the beginning was the Word. Therefore, the Word is timeless and all scripture is God-breathed. We're not just talking about some, we're talking about all, the whole of scripture. The Word is timeless. In the beginning was the Word. So we let the Word lead us, not the world, especially in these days. And however you connect with the Word, it doesn't have to be chapters at a time, does it? You know, we can just chunks of or bites of the Word to feed us. You know, when they moved, when they went into the promised land, they had to live. That was one of the commands, wasn't it? And I still remember Mike's talk at the River Centre about going in. You did a talk on this, Mike, the three things. Yeah, I remember it. And that was, you know, remember, and it's the law in Joshua, but for us, it's the Word, isn't it? So, you know, just to have that with us, to keep feeding ourselves on the Word of God. It helps us discern as well what's truth, what's lies, especially we're being bombarded with so much stuff on the media at the moment. The second thing, so be in the Word. Second thing is worship. We, Pete and I, put such a high priority on worship here. This magnifies the only one truly worthy of worship. Magnify. I love that sense of when we worship, it magnifies God in our circumstances and our situations. It recalibrates our hearts to the wonder and majesty of God. And for me, and I don't know, this may be for you guys, it clears the spiritual atmosphere around. When we enter into worship, there's a clarity that can come so we can hear God. And David in Psalms is a fantastic example of that. Also, it releases our emotions, releases us emotionally and lifts us high. Not about our feelings. And John, in John, the lovely conversation Jesus has with the woman at the well, 23, A time is coming and is already here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit, from the heart, the inner self, and in truth. For the Father seeks such people to be his worshippers. God is spirit, the source of life, yet invisible to mankind. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Worship is such a key thing for us as believers. Magnifying God over our lives, being that worshipper that the Father is seeking, that he'd be attracted and drawn into our worship because we're worshipping in spirit and truth. No matter how we come in, you know, but choosing to step in to bring that sacrifice of worship and praise and clearing the atmosphere. And I believe it clears the spiritual atmosphere wider than in this room. When you've got believing believers worshipping God, that is clearing the atmosphere in an area. And it doesn't matter how many of us there are. It's the heart.
Clears confusion.
Yes, Gaynor.
Well,
yeah. Amen.
Find that immensely.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. And prayer. So we've got be in the word, worship. Worship is so powerful. We want to worship. Prayer. Hayley Braun from Bethel, she put this so succinctly, I think. Prayer is not a moment, but is the lifeblood of a believer stepping into communion with God. Isn't that beautiful? Just imagine that, stepping into communion. So many of you I know are such prayers. And you're stepping into communion with God, recognizing it is the only way because he is the only source. Isn't that wonderful? Then she says, prayer focuses my attention and my affection to the one who gives all his attention and all his affection to me. That beautiful exchange. It focuses our attention and our affection and attracts all that as well. And we've actually, Pete didn't say, but on a blaze, we've also committed to pray for longer times in tongues throughout the day.
Yeah.
We're going to pray in tongues. We said to everybody, pray in tongues. Let's have testimony of how that's affected, because the word, the Bible, again, it does tell us, build yourself up on the foundation of your most holy faith, rise like an edifice higher and higher, pray in the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Praying in tongues. Yeah, and actually the other verse is Thessalonians. So yeah, we're doing that. Oh, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always and delight in your faith. Be unceasing and persistent in prayer. I know you guys know this. In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know you guys know this. It's just to encourage us this year. We want that compass to show us where we're going, what we're doing. So there was the word, worship, all scriptures God breathed, the now voice of the Holy Spirit through the word, worship, magnifying God, prayer, drawing close to God in prayer, praying in tongues, building ourselves up, taking responsibility for strengthening ourselves by praying in tongues every day. And anyone who hasn't had that gift, the gift of tongues, we really can pray at the end as well as the Abba Father.
Call out Abba Father.
Yeah, and let it just come. Thanks, Gaynor, that's brilliant. And one other thing I really felt just for this year, as we walk into this new land, as we carry on walking in his promises, I was reading Ephesians 3:15-16 about his love. And I felt, let's be really rooted and grounded in his love, whatever that takes. And for the first time, I looked at that passage and I thought, okay, we can take it individually, let's be rooted and grounded. But actually, he's talking to a church. He's talking to Ephesians. And I felt there's something more for us to explore in the height, the depth, the width and length of God's love. It's more than one person can carry. It's more than I can carry. But we can, as a body, explore the depths of the Father's love, yeah. Because there's a world out there that's what they need. Together, we can go in and we can explore the vastness of love. It surpasses knowledge. So it's something that we can't put any words to, but together we can pursue that Father heart, the Father heart, the love of heaven, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit. So at the root of everything we do, there has to be love.
Yes.
And we carry that together.
Yeah.
We carry that together. Yeah. We learn that together. What you know about his love, you impart to me. And I give testimony of that, of how this church has taught me to love at a deeper level.
That's right.
By the way people are in this church is extraordinary. So I pray that we, this year, we will go deeper in that and in that love. So we're going to end with a worship song, The Love of God. And if you would like prayer for anything at the end, then Mike and Liz will pray, Pete and I will pray, anything at all. Okay, we can pray. So bless you. And just bless you to keep going after all those promises. Keep going after the things that you're hoping for, the hopes and dreams you've got in your heart. Keep going after them.